What I call the message this morning is resurrection life. And I want to read, you know, I'm going to read one of the resurrection accounts. Every gospel has one. And I think it's good to read them all and get them all, you know, if you have four people in a room watching the same thing, they're going to all kind of relay it a little bit differently. But I'm just going to read Matthew, just the first few verses of Matthew 28. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Father, I pray for your word as we look into it this morning, and just pray, God, that, I mean, what can I say about the resurrection that hasn't been said? But God, I pray that whatever said today would just be fresh, it would be fresh manna from heaven that your Holy Spirit can use in all of our lives, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the greatest story ever told. Amen? And the cool thing about it is it's not just a story, right? It's more than a story. I have staked my life. We, many of us here in this room, have staked our lives on the fact that we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but through him. And we believe that he is alive, that the story of the gospel is true. I have staked my life on it and try my best and fall short, but to give my all to him. It's the single most important event in the history of the world, in the history of mankind. And what I just read, what I want to really talk about this morning, we focus, and rightly so, on Jesus, you know, him rising from the grave and death could not hold him and such. But what does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? And that's why I call this the resurrection life, because this story is meant to affect our lives every moment of every day. If we know Jesus Christ, right? It affects everything. You know, Paul said in Acts 17, 26, he said, "In him we live and move and have our being." It's all about him. So I want to read another verse from the book of Acts. Peter is speaking. It's in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, and he says, meaning Jesus, "being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death," and I put it in caps because it's so important, and I've already mentioned this, "because it was not possible that he should be held by it." It was not possible that Jesus could be held by death. He willingly gave himself to die on the cross, but ultimately death had no hold over him. Right? I mean, we think a lot about the power of the resurrection, and I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes, but the simple truth is death had no hold on him. Death could not keep him in the grave. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "The sting of death is sin. Where there is no sin, death has no hold." That's very significant, because even though we fall short in our own physical selves, the blood of Jesus Christ is upon us if we have Jesus in our lives, and so that sin is taken care of. And yes, we have to repent and we have to walk a holy life before God, but death has no hold, had no hold on Jesus, and in the spiritual sense has no hold on us. So again, we're going to look in Philippians chapter 3, some things that Paul said about the resurrection. And I'm going to start in Philippians 3, verse 3. And Paul is talking about how the priorities of his life changed. When he had an encounter, and some of you know the story from the book of Acts, is it Acts chapter 9, I think? When Paul had his encounter, when he was Saul of Tarsus, and he had his encounter with the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus, everything, like I said, everything changed, right? His priorities changed. His purpose changed. And so he talks about that in Philippians chapter 3. This is beginning in verse 4. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. See, Paul had it, you know, from in his world, in the world he had it. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. And I know that for us today, maybe some of that doesn't seem to mean a lot. You know, circumcised on the eighth day, of the stock of, you know, Israel, Benjamin, you know, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee, and he was very zealous, so zealous that he went after the Christians. He went after the church because he believed that they were in error. So he had it all. He had the family lineage. He had the education. He had the training. He had it all. But he came to a place in his life where his priorities, he realized his priorities were misplaced. And he goes on in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And then we get to verse 10, and verse 10 is where we're going to spend the next few minutes, and that's where we're going to really focus on. And so verse 10 says this. This was Paul's heart's desire. This was the cry of his heart, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. So let's focus on this just for a Again, just for a few minutes. So Paul says, I want to know him. And then he spells it out in three things. He says, I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. And I want to be conformed to his death. Those three things. And he's expressing with the deepest possible conviction how important this was to him. This was the center of his life. It wasn't just enough to know about him. He wanted to know him. And so there's three things. I'm going to deal with the second two first, and then we'll go back, because the first thing he mentions is the power of his resurrection, and that's where I want to end. But let's talk about the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, how many would be tempted to say, I want to know the power of his resurrection, but I'm not so sure I want to know much about the fellowship of his sufferings, right? I get that. I understand that. But this is not multiple choice, right? This is not a restaurant menu. We say, I think I'll take some of this. But, you know, we went down through the serving line here today and say, well, I'm not sure if I like this casserole, but I'll take this one or whatever, you know, sort of thing. We don't have a choice when it comes to this. If you want to know him in the power of his resurrection, you have to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings and being conformed to his death. So what does all that mean? Paul knew that to really know Jesus, he had to understand the whole scope of his life and everything about him, everything that he could possibly know about him. And we can't fully appreciate the power of his resurrection if we don't know what it took for him to get there. And so we need to understand what Jesus endured on our behalf to reach the glory of the resurrection. We can't fully understand or appreciate the power of the resurrection until we understand this. One translation, the NIV, says participation in his sufferings. The English Standard says that I may share in his sufferings. If we're truly disciples of Jesus Christ, we will participate in some way, shape, or form in the sufferings of Jesus. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but you don't have to go out and look for it, you know? You don't have to seek it out. To truly walk with Jesus in some way, shape, or form, we will suffer for the gospel. Now, I'm not trying to inflate that, We are not living in a country where we are at risk, generally speaking, to publicly proclaim the name of Jesus, to meet here on a Sunday morning, or anything else that relates to our faith. And I praise God for that. I'm thankful for that. Who knows how long that will last? But there are places today where, and we talk about this many times, we refer to the persecuted church, where just to believe and to do the things that we're doing this morning, it could cost you your life. And that's not hyperbole, that's not rhetoric, that's just the reality of life for those people. And so I'm not trying to inflate it, what we go through in our lives, but for us, you know, again, that may seem, and it is, you know, compared to that, the loss of friends. You know, maybe we've experienced that. Maybe you've been ridiculed or put down for your faith, or maybe you've had to take a stand for something that's unpopular, or something that the culture accepts that we as Christians say, no, I don't believe this is in line with God's word. You know, we go through these kinds of things, and in some way, somehow, we participate in the sufferings of Christ. Not, you know, we're not going to the cross in the sense. I mean, it does talk about us denying ourselves, taking up our cross and following him and so forth. But again, I'm just saying that to truly walk with Christ, to truly be a disciple of Jesus Christ, because it is so countercultural to be a Christian in our culture, in our day, we will go through some things. And plus just the simple truth of understanding what Jesus went through for us. The last thing Paul said, you know, the third thing, and then we'll skip back at that very end here, and we'll talk about the power of the resurrection. The next thing he talked about is to be conformed to his death. And I have a verse I want to, Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I want you to really get this, because this was like, I don't want to say it's a revelation, but it was just something that really, really struck me as I was preparing this. There can be no resurrection life without a death, right? How can there be resurrection if there's no death? So if we want to experience the power of resurrection, there's something that has to happen in our lives. In order for us to experience a resurrection, there's a death. You cannot be two people. You cannot be the old person and the new person, right? You're either one or the other. You can't have one foot in the old life and one foot in the new life. If you do that, you're just kidding yourself, right? So in order for there in order for us to experience that new life, the resurrection life, there has to be the death of the old person. I always quote 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things become new. So let's talk about the resurrection life. Paul wanted to know Christ in the power of his resurrection. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ is meant to be living and active in our lives, as I said earlier, every moment of every day. Now, do I wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, the resurrection power of Christ is, you know, not always, right? But it's there, whether you feel it or not. Whether you feel like you're experiencing it or walking in it, it is there. And the passage we're just going to look at for a second is from Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to start reading in verse 17, and then I'll put, I think I got verse 20 on the screen I'll put up in a second. It was just a lot, and I didn't want to get lost the main thing I wanted to try to show you. But let me start, just to set it up, let me start reading in Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You know, so let me stop there for a second, because I'm going to put it on the screen, the next part. Paul is saying, you know, I want you to have this understanding, this revelation, this wisdom and knowledge, this understanding that your eyes, that your spiritual eyes would be enlightened, that you would understand. And then he says this. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Simple translation of all that. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. That's what it says, right? The exceeding greatness of his power that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Paul's saying, I want you to know that. I want you to have revelation, wisdom, knowledge, understanding of what this is. We need to understand this and what it is to walk in this reality, that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in us. Sometimes we don't understand what we have in Christ. I'm guilty of that. We're probably all guilty of that. We get caught up in everything that's going on in the world and all the stuff that weighs us down. If Jesus is our Lord and Savior, that power is at work in us. And that doesn't mean that we're not subject to limitations. That doesn't mean that we don't go through struggles in our lives. I'm not preaching some hyper faith, you'll never have a problem, you'll never be sick, you'll never have a woe or care in your life sort of gospel. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that we need to understand what it truly means to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. It is life-changing. It is life-changing. And when Paul wrote those words that we looked at earlier in Philippians 3, the whole way that he wrote it, he was like asking, to me, he's like asking God to be able to experience this more fully. I don't think even the Apostle Paul fully was walking in it and grasping it. And maybe nobody in this life has fully attained it. But that's what we, you know, what it goes on a little bit farther in Philippians 3 and talks about, you know, that I may attain to those things. I press forward for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul wasn't saying, hey, I figured it, I've got it all wired and I'm walking it out 100%. He says, this is what I want. This is the desire. This is the cry of my heart. And if we have that desire, I think we'll experience it more and more, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So in closing, I'm famous for having, no, this will be the final. These are just some things I wrote down. When you have the power of the resurrection living in us, living in you, we can live an overcoming life. We can experience the fullness of what life is meant to be. We have access into the very presence of God. We are seated with him. I really want to preach on this sometime soon from Ephesians. We are seated with him in heavenly places, and what that means. We have a measure of authority that comes from Christ himself. We are overcomers. We live as overcomers. We understand the purpose why we're here. It's one of the most meaningful things in my life is to know why I'm here, right? And that sense that you're walking out the purpose that God put you on the earth for. We see life through the lens of eternity and not just this temporal. I'm not saying it's not important. You know, today is important, right? Today. We are free in Christ. We are free from the chains of sin. We know the joy of the Lord. We know the peace of the Lord. All these things are the kinds of things I'm talking about that we can experience when we're living that resurrection life. So, Jesus gave it all for us, and through giving his all, gives us all of these things. I'm going to ask you to stand. Because he died and he rose again and took our sins away, he has made us new creations in Christ. I was reading something a few weeks ago. You know, when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming down the road, when Jesus began his earthly ministry, what did he say? He said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, right? And what I was reading, and I don't know why, I've never put two and two together, I guess. This one author said, that Lamb became our shepherd. You know, that Lamb became the shepherd. And I, you know, he's our shepherd. The Lamb became our Savior. The Lamb became our Lord. He became our King. He became our Mediator. He became our righteousness. He became our friend. The Lamb became all those things. I want you just bow your head and your heads, please. And you know, if you're here today on this Easter Sunday, 2024, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, or you're not confident in your relationship with Him, I would strongly encourage you to think about what this day means. Not what the world has made it, but what it truly means and why we celebrate. Because it has, and I, just one person of many here, and many, countless people who have experienced what it means to know Him. And God, I acknowledge that I need to know You more. Yes, the power of Your resurrection, the fellowship of Your sufferings, being conformed to Your death. I'm not totally there. None of us are totally there. So there's always growth. There's always much room in our lives to get closer to You. But if you're here today and you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, you don't know Him in this way, I would just encourage you to pray with me. And so I'm just going to say, Lord, I know that I am a sinner in need of Your salvation. And I, if this is you, you know, just think it in your heart, say it out loud. However, this is open your heart to Him. I come before You this morning. I thank You for what Jesus did on the cross for me. And I ask You to forgive me of my sins. I repent of my sins. I surrender my life to You. I ask You to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Help me to live my life for You. Help me to live in the power of Your resurrection, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, that it would be at work in me. I thank You, Lord, for my salvation, and I ask all this in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, the basic message of the gospel is you can't work your way into heaven. You can't work your way into a relationship. You receive it by faith. And if you are at that place and you know truly, you know, this resonates in your heart, that that's something I've never done or I've fallen away or whatever, you know, may today be for you that day of salvation. Father, I thank You for this time that we have together, that we had together, and I pray that our celebration of what You've done in our lives would just continue, not just today, but throughout our lives. And I am, and I know I'm speaking for many people here, I'm so thankful. I am so thankful that You intercepted me, you know, that You met me those many years ago and drew me into a relationship with You. And I pray, God, that those of us here that know You and are walking with You, that we would just grow closer and deeper in our walk with You. And those who are maybe at a place of beginning this journey, that You would just be with them every step of the way. Your word says that You're a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and You will never leave us nor forsake us. And we put our trust in You and in all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day. I hope you can get together with your family. Remember the Malawi team. Keep them in prayer. Lots of stuff next door.
Can I say something before everybody
goes? Just before everybody goes. Hey, Mike.
I'm being obedient to God.
One second, please. I'm going to give Wanda just a moment here.
Hallelujah, Jesus. I just want to thank God this morning for being in this place. No, I'm going to read this.
Okay, I was going to help you hold. Hey, everybody.
God have given me a message, and I'm going to be obedient to God's word. He put me in this place for a purpose. And my purpose is to reach out to others that don't know God. All right, I'm calling on Peter today. Where is your son? Yes.
Ernest,
God right gave there. Me a message for Ernest this morning.
All right.
Yes, He did. He put it on my heart this morning. Okay, I'm going to read from Matthew 16 and 16. Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ." So, because when Jesus asked them, "Who am I? Who do people say I am?" This is what he's talking about. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon," I can't pronounce that name, "for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church." And that's what God laid on my heart for you, because I know you have a following. You understand me? And God has built his church in you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, I just thank you. Another thing too, I want to say for you, Ernest, forgive me if you felt any way about me, because I know we had our run-ins. Okay, so I'm asking for forgiveness this morning, because I know God has built his church in you.
Amen. I see big changes in that young man. All right, thank you, Wanda. All right, God bless you. Thank you for being obedient. You're dismissed.